unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen. Despite the very graphic description and unsavory description that Peter gives us here in verse 22, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, there seems to be no end to the backsliding among the church. The question that is uppermost, or was uppermost in my mind as I was praying about this message, amen, is the question, why? Why? Amen. I've heard it asked over and over again across the country as we've traveled this last year and a half. How can men and women who once felt the Spirit and the power of God, amen, and know that God has written their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, brought them up out of the paths of sin, turn back to the beggarly elements of this world? How can they do it? Amen. After that, he's wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, amen. I thought about years ago when I was a boy at home, Mama, I remember, was making a special cake for somebody and turned out flat. Didn't taste like nothing. So she let us kids have it, and we didn't want it either. Come on, church. And Mama said, I forgot to put something in this to give it life. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going to the house of God and not getting nothing. Why is it that people no longer desire to have what we have? Come on, church. I want to preach to you this morning, if God will help me, on the missing ingredient. We got a lot of things right, but still it's flat. You probably won't shout me down this morning. I don't doubt that a bit. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Amen. And the Bible said, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. Now we're looking at that time when the heroes of the church are weirdos. If you don't understand weirdos, I'll give you an Okie term for it. Queers. Come on, church. Why is it that we have gone back to that? There's something missing. Now, Paul gives us this clue. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Huh? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Notice the Bible said, because that when they knew God. We're not talking about people who've never felt the Spirit and the power of God. We're talking about people that knew God. Huh? They knew God. But when they knew Him, they did not glorify Him as God. Amen. We need to know this morning how men that knew God reached such a place, the Bible said, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Amen. You know, Pharaoh said, "Who is God that I should obey his voice?" And although we may never hear anybody dare say that out loud, amen, their attitude toward holiness today, amen, declares the rebellion of their heart against God. Come on now. The Bible said that Israel in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt. Amen. I want you to know that the result of such heart rebellion. Come on now. Y'all are going to stay with me, I hope. Such heart rebellion. Amen. It's disastrous. The Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, the Lord spake to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me?" Y'all are out there. I see you. Amen. "Which murmur against me. I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me." He said, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. And doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear unto you, to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun, your little ones, which ye said should be praised. Them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and they never entered the promised land. And this generation that has rebelled against holiness will not make it to the land of milk and honey either." Oh, God. Come on, church. The Bible said there is a generation. They're pure in their own eyes, and yet is not worse from their filthiness. Said there's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids lifted up. I've had them talk to me about it. They think you think you're the only one. You think you got the whole thing cornered. Sweet Lamb of God, I hope I have. If I ain't, I need to get it. Come on, church. Self-righteous and so proud and so far away from God. What is missing in their experience to bring them such a state? You know, when I was a boy at home, I never got away with nothing. Every transgression received a just recompense of reward. I once told my mom, I said, "Mom and Daddy's given me a whipping for the last 86 days in a row." I counted them. I kept track. He said, "And you're going to get the next 86 if you don't straighten up." And I want you to notice what God said. They're murmuring. And I've heard their murmuring. Sister Greta, more than once, we went in the bedroom and he gave it to me. And when I come out and walked across the floor there, he said, "I don't like the way you look. Let's go back in there." I was afraid to look anyway. Come on, church. Do you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Hear this and hear it well. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This generation has only heard the first part of this verse. Work out your own salvation. And took it to mean a license and gave them a license to work it out however they wanted and however they pleased. Amen. They did not hear the last part of this verse that said with fear and trembling. And that's what missing in this hour is a good, healthy fear of disobeying our God. Fear is the missing ingredient in that in their lives that allow them to live loose. Is that a word I can use? Come on, church. I want you to know something. When it was Mama talking, I'd push pretty hard. I see you. That's right, when it was Mama. She said, get in here this instant. Okay, Mom. I thought I told you to get in here this instant. Get in, Mom. Kids would come out and said, Mama said, come in the house. I go sometimes. I mean, I just, Mama could whip me. She couldn't make me cry. I'll tell you something. Sister Greta, they come out and said, you got to go in the house. I said, you and what army? I said, Dad said, sweet Lamb of God, I hit the door as hard as I could. Get there! Come on, church! Come on, church! If you're like me in this sense, amen, I read the newspaper. I listen to the news. I suppose you do. Brother Ralph, I am absolutely stunned at the wickedness of this generation that I'm living in. Huh? And I wonder how in the world could men be so vile? I don't know how you feel about it. I guess you call it righteous indignation when I pick up the newspaper and I see some grandfather or a dad take his own 2 or 3 year old daughter and abuse her and rape her. Come on, church. It does something to me. And I said, God, how in the world can men be so vile? Let me read it to you. For the Bible tells us the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The only way, amen, that the wicked can do the things that they are doing is because there is no fear of God in their heart. Come on, you know there used to be a fear of God till men wouldn't even open their stores on Sunday because it was the day of the Lord. I'm not trying to start no new doctrine here, so relax. But I can remember when stores and bars closed at midnight Saturday and didn't open till Monday morning. And you can too, amen, because there was a fear of God in their heart. I am telling you this morning, as flat-footed as I can get, amen, that's why folks are turning back to the sinful things of this world, the fads and the fashions of this world, is because they no longer fear our God. They're not afraid of God, not like I was. Mama got saved when I was 4 years old, amen, in 1942. I remember the cottage prayer meeting that Mama got prayed through and got saved. Amen. Out in a little place called Little Oklahoma in California, near Madera, California. Amen. Amen. They built the church. The women folks, the men weren't saved, mostly women. Mama instilled in us such a fear of the church, God's house. Mama cleaned the church. She had to take his children with her. She didn't come down there and say, now you kids stay out here. She said, y'all come in while I clean the house of the Lord. Sister Doris, us children who were rowdy, and I was rowdy. Daddy told me when I got saved at 12 years old, he said, I'm glad you got saved. I have tried to beat the devil out of you. I couldn't get it done. But God took it out in one simple operation. And we would sit on the back seat as Mama cleaned the church. We wouldn't even talk in church. Huh? Once in a while, Mama would take a knife with you and say, Leon, you can crawl under the seats and get all the gum off the bottom of the seats. No, I wasn't allowed to chew it, but I could do that. I could go through and clean the gum. Are you all hearing me this morning? When my daddy got saved and I was 12 years old, he said, "Son, you can sit anywhere in the church you want to. Anybody you want to." He said, "I want to tell you something. If there's a disturbance in the service and it's coming from where you're at, you're going to get it when we get home." I know Daddy was a man of his word. He didn't say, I told you. No. Dad said one time, and that was it, friend. That was it. I've heard my own children say, "I thought I told you to quit that." I was preaching in Indiana here a while back, or a year or three back. I was staying with my oldest daughter, and her oldest son is very mischievous. Y'all know Jared Baker, some of you. And he's very much a boy. And he had tried her patience, and she had told him all morning long, "I'm going to get you." And I was sitting there reading the Bible, and she said, "I'm going to get you." And he just went on. And I told her, I said, "About time you got him, ain't it?" And he done it one more time, Brother Carpenter, and she went and got him a hold of the ear, and down the hall they was going. And he's hollering, "Oh, Mama, please let this be my last chance. Please let this be my..." But it was too late then. Well, with Dad, it was always too late. So he told me, "You can sit anywhere you want to as long as there's no disturbance. And if there is, you're going to catch..." So I looked around, and Dad sat on the front seat, played his guitar. And I decided that the safest place in the church was by my daddy. I sat there till I turned 18 or 17 and ran off to join the service. I sat right there. That was the best place. We wasn't allowed to run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. No. We wasn't allowed to get up at all. Come on, church. She instilled a fear in my heart of the house of God. Huh? And we're in trouble today because men do not fear God. And our church is in worse trouble because you don't fear God either. The book of Malachi of the Bible says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is mine fear?" Paul said there is no fear of God before their eyes. From the pulpits of our modern day church to the pew, fear is the missing ingredient. Amen. Come on, church. When men can stand in the pulpit and lie like a dog, they don't fear God. Come on, church. Come on, church. Amen. My God. Amen. Amen. And when they stand there and lie, amen, and they do lie, when they minimize holiness, which the Bible said, "Without which no man shall see the Lord." It's no wonder that our church doesn't fear God. Huh? It's no wonder because we have minimized holiness, amen. Amen. They don't fear God, amen, when they will not name sin and stand against it. Come on, church. I don't know how long you stay with me with this, but I'm feeling good about it. If I could shout and run, I probably would. Amen. There's a preacher told me once, said, "You ain't supposed to hop around like that." Amen. They made a tape of me preaching in Allentown years ago, and a Bible school took it. Teacher took it back to Brother Carpenter and said, "I'm going to play this tape of an Indian preacher." Amen. Said, "This is how not to preach. This is how not to talk." Amen. Brother Ralph, I preached that day on spiritual suicide. Amen. And he played the tape and sat down and crossed his leg, crossed his arm, waited for the class to begin to laugh and jeer and make fun, but he heard a strange sound. He looked around and the class was on their knees at their desk, crying out to God for mercy. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Amen. When the pulpit will not stand
you think the church is going to do? Amen. They're not going to stand against sin either. They'll live it, amen. They'll do it, amen, if the man behind the pulpit is a coward, amen. Woo! I'm liable to shout and dance anyway. Come on, church. It's time for us to realize that if we don't fear God, we'll live any way we jolly well please, as Joey Heights says. Come on here. You know, not afraid of God. And any preacher that just preaches the part of the Bible that he agrees and likes is a coward. He has no fear of God. He fears man rather than God. Woo! Do you know what Paul said? Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of God, do I persuade others? I said, Lord, when did Paul learn to know the terror of the Lord? Where did he learn that? And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, on the road to Damascus. I read through it. And I seen Paul laying on the ground. He said, who art thou, Lord? Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he knew terror of the Lord. Huh? Sister Greta, he realized that all his life he'd been going against what he needed to have. And Jesus had called him. Amen. And all he had to do was take his life, and he was in hell. He knew terror of the Lord. There he was in the balances. Mr. Doris weighed and found guilty. Only thing he could do was cry for mercy. Lord, what would you have me to do? I think it's about time that we learn the terror of the Lord. Let's realize who it is that holds the breath in His hand. Amen. Come on, church. You can't live like the world and go to heaven. Oh, God. Well, Brother Rich likes saying, maybe I ought to preach a little bit of whole holiness here. But when men can look and act like the world, they don't fear. I know we get on the women quite a bit, but us men are supposed to be the head of the house. Hello? And when you look and act like the world, what do you think your house is going to do? I hope I don't make you mad, but if I do, pray too, would you please? Pray for me too, amen. But I told some of them somewhere, and they did get angry at me. I said, if you really want that hairdo you like, to where, you know, where they just look like they're wearing a space cap, you know. I said, go to San Francisco. It really means something there. I said, why don't you go ahead and have your ear pierced and just go the whole hog, hello? Come on, church. We can't look and act like the world and be a son of God. We can't look and act like the world and be a child of God. You don't fear God if you can, if you're comfortable with the fads and the fashions of this world. Hey, you don't fear God. You can sit and watch the filth on the TV, you're not afraid of God. You're not scared of Him. Come on now. When you can take pleasure in the sports world and the queer heroes that are in that, if that's your hero, my friend, you are in trouble. I said you're in trouble. Yeah, but Brother Buzzard, he makes $1 million a year. I don't care if he makes $1 million a swing. Amen. If he's your hero, you're in trouble. Your hero ought to be the men of God. I said, your heroes are... Come on, church! Your heroes ought to be those that have separated themselves from the world and walking upright in this world and showing the world how a child of God ought to live. There's no fear in your heart. I'll tell you ladies something too, amen. Ain't no use just hit them, I guess. If you can wear breeches, you don't fear God. I had some ladies in my holiness church, quote unquote, holiness church, wear breeches while they're mowing the lawn because it wasn't decent for them to mow the lawn on a lawnmower without them. I said, is that right? Yes. I said, make your husband mow the lawn. I said, make him mow the lawn. Well, I don't like the way he mows it. I said, get to liking it. Come on, church. If you're doing anything that you got to wear breeches, my God, quit it. Quit it. Be careful how you testify about it, though. I went down to Broxton one year, and a lady got up and said, I'm glad to see Brother Buzzer here. Last year when he was here, he preached my breeches off of me. Don't do that to me, please. Come on, church. Come on, church. No, you don't fear God. No, if you can dress and act and look like the world, you don't fear God. Come on now. Let me just go ahead and get this tacked down good and tight. Amen. Years ago, they started preaching this. I'd never heard it before, but I kind of like the sound of it, so I'm preaching it too. If you can wear a split skirt, you don't fear God. Now shout. Come on now. And if you love this new look, this grunge look, pray through. Wouldn't us preachers look sharp? Wouldn't Brother Ralph Horton look sharp if he wore his little breeches up here that crotched right across the knees here? And you look about as sharp and something that's got a green body and one purple sleeve and one yellow sleeve and dragging the ground behind you. Come on, church! Are you hearing me? Oh, Brother Leon, you're gonna be one of them legalistics. I sure am. If the Bible said don't do it, I ain't gonna do it. Come on now! Come on now! My wife loves me to wear a pink shirt. I hate them things. I don't like pink. I think it's rather effeminate. If you're wearing one, go ahead. I'm talking about me. I'm a buzzard. I'm an Indian, okay? You white folk can do like you want to, but to me, it's effeminate. I don't like it. I don't like pink shirts. She bought me one once. I'm bright. I got one somewhere. And she said, honey, you look so good in it. Had an accident. I checked the oil and got some oil on. Now, Claire, amen. Come on, church. I'll tell you something, amen. If you can cut and trim on your hair. Now, don't tell this Indian that you cut it to make it grow. That just don't click. I've been cutting mine for years, and it's getting thinner all the time. Doesn't grow much anymore. I used to have to get a hair when I was in the service. I had to get one just about every week to get by. Huh? Are y'all hearing me? Will you preachers back me on this? And if you fix your hair and frizz it so it looks like it's been cut, go ahead and cut it. You done making it look like it. Come on now. The Bible said that maketh a lie. Didn't the Bible say that? Did the Bible say that? He did say that. I know he did say that. Come on, church. Well, I better get off this picking and go to preaching again, maybe. Amen. But the question crossed my mind, and how do good Holy Ghost, sanctified, holy people, how do they get to the place that they can do these things? Come on, church. How do they get there? What the Bible said, I read it to you, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They would not retain God in their hearts. The only decision that you should have to make is the one, Elisha or Elijah, whichever one it was, called for. He said, if the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, then follow him. That's the only decision that you have to make in your heart. Is God God? Come on, church. Is He God? Is He? Is He God? Is He God? Church, is God God? If He's not, we're wasting our time. Huh? If He's God, then His Bible is truth. And if it's truth, we cannot live without the truth. We must live by the truth. Paul said, I cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. You're going to be a child of God, then you have to back His word. Well, if God is not God to you, you will not have a godly fear. You know what God said? He said, their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. When our salvation is based upon what men think instead of what God said, we will lose our fear of God. Come on, church. I've had a lot of people tell me how I ought to preach and what I should and should. Had lots of them tell me. You'll never be popular if you preach that way. I told the Lord that. You know what He said? He said, do you really want to be popular? I said, no, Lord, not if you don't want to be. First time I preached the camp meeting at Jersey, Georgia, the Church of God overseer came to me and he said, son, I like your enthusiasm. I like your anointing. I said, if you'll tone it down a little and put a suit and necktie on, we'll make you the evangelist for the state of Georgia. We'll give you a brick home. We'll provide you with a new car every year and a salary. And all your offerings will be extra. I looked at him and I said, sorry, my vineyard's not for sale, Ahab. Come on, church. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just trying to show you we've lost an ingredient out of the house of God that's got us in trouble with the Master. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I just don't know. But I do know this. We're in trouble if we don't have God on our side in the days to come. I better get off that. Amen. The Bible says, listen now. The Bible said, they come unto thee. Let me read it all. And thou, son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak one another to everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on the instrument. For they hear thy word, but they will not do them. And when this cometh to pass, and he said, lo, it will come to pass, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. I've seen this more and more. The last holiness church that I pastored for 16 years nearly. I never could get them to give up their TVs. A holiness church. He said, you're there 16 years? Yes. What happened, Brother Leon? Somebody asked me why we didn't have what Benny Hinn had. I didn't know who this talking about. Hello? I said, I didn't know who. I said, I don't know who Benny Hinn is. He's Little Red Hen's husband or something. So they explained to me, Brother Ralph, who he was and how he's blowing on people and what all was going on. And the pillar of the church said, why can't we have this in our church? And I said, I don't know who the man is. Has he written anything? Oh, yes, he's got lots of books out. Tapes, videotapes. So they gave me a book called The Anointing. I read through it. It sounded good. Have you all read it? Don't. First thing I said when I took the book back, I took the book back to church. And I said, I'm going to preach on this. I'm going to teach on this for the next few Sundays. Turned about to be a month, and after a month, they voted me out. Hello? And I said, in the first place, I showed him the picture on the fly cover, and there he stood with his hair hanging down low his shoulders. And I said, that right there ought to told you right away that this is not a man of God. So I begin to read to them excerpts from their book and told them what the Bible said. In one place in the Bible, he says that God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus was having a conference, and the Lord said, I'm going to build a world. I'm going to make a world. And said, I'm going to make man and put him there. And said, man's going to rebel against us, lose fellowship with us. I need somebody to go down and bring him back. Jesus said, I'll go. I'll be the sacrifice that will bring him back into fellowship. And the Bible said he turned to the Holy Ghost. He said to the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, excuse me, Holy Spirit, said, but I want you to go with me, for you're the power. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, no, you go. And I'll come at the right time. And then he wrote these words, for though he were the very Son of God, he had no power of his own. I read from the book where Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Come on, church. When we can, help me, Lord. When we can back TV evangelists like this liar and hypocrite. We don't fear God. I said we don't fear God. Come on, church. Brother Leon, you better be careful. I said, I don't have to be careful. This is a lie. I proved it to you from the Bible. He's nothing but a liar. Come on, church. Oh, God. Help us. You know what God said He was going to do? This scares me worse than anything in the world, Brother Ralph. He said, therefore, behold, this is God talking, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work, a wonder, He said, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. God, help us. If you have a preacher that preaches old time holiness and preaches the true word of God and every precept and every counsel of God, my God, hold him dear to your heart. Huh? Hold him dear to your heart. Back him up. I said support him. Holler amen once in a while. Lift your lazy hand and say, preach it, preacher. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. God said, I will do it. I have wondered how preachers could read the Word of God and come up with such stupid ideas and preach those ideas. It's because they don't fear God. Come on, church. I'm not only into it with the loose people, I'm into it with the super duper holiness bunch. Come on now. I believe it's as wrong to leave out part of the Bible as it is to add your little idioticies to it. Come on now. If the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is not in meat and drink, sweet Lamb of God, it ain't. Huh? If the Bible said not to let no man judge you in your Sabbath, your new moons and your feasts and so on and so forth, then He said don't do it. Come on, church. I don't care what something told you out in the barn. If you esteem something to be unclean, to you it's unclean, not the whole house. Come on now. I had a preacher tell me, he joined up with the Super Bunch, and he said, bless God, I'm giving up soda pop, I'm giving up coffee, I'm giving up tea. Did I say it? I'm giving up my necktie. I said, great, that's wonderful. I'm glad for you. Come on, I don't begrudge people if they... I'm about to give up pop myself. I don't hardly like it anymore. I said, all right. 2 or 3 months went by, and he came by the house, and he said, Brother Leon, he said, I think I made a mistake. I said, I know you did. I said, unless you really feel that way, if God really dealt with you, come on now. I don't doubt that God told some people to give that junk up. I don't doubt it a bit. I don't doubt it none. Amen. And he said, but he said, what do you think about if I started? I said, my friend, you go to hell for drinking. I said, you made a vow to God. Hello? You made a vow to God. You said, I will not. And you better not. He said, yeah, but I made a mistake. And I read to the scripture over in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, if you want to read, in case you think I'm not telling you the truth. But he said, don't say that it was a mistake, lest he be angry at thy voice. Y'all glad I'm about done here? And I told him, I said, if you go back to that you once destroyed, you make yourself a transgressor. That's what the Bible says. And I said, so for the rest of your life, leave Pepsi alone. Leave Diet Pepsi alone, too. Come on, church. I said, better not catch you. What'd he do? Well, right now he's sitting there not doing nothing. That's what he's doing. We lose our fear of God. You make a vow before God, you better keep it. I don't care if you did make a mistake. You better keep it. I won't get on that next. Don told me I better leave that alone. You see, there's a movement among that bunch, and I'm not preaching against them this morning. In fact, I'm taking one of their churches. Pray for me, will you? But there's a movement to quit preaching how I feel about it and start preaching what the Bible says. I said, amen. Come on, church. Amen! Preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. And I was down at the Broxton meeting, Brother Charles Barnett, and you know Brother Charles, he was preaching. And he said, I know some of you ain't taking this too good because I'm wearing this. And he flipped his neck. And Brother Ralph, he said, you don't know why I'm wearing this, do you? That I'm wearing this so my wife will have something to lead me around with. Sweet Lamb of God, I told Brother Charles at the church, I said, you have given me biblical reason now to preach against neckties. I said, all us men ain't wearing a necktie because we're the head of our house, but I see all you wimps are wearing one. Charles said, oh, no, don't preach that, Brother Leon. You know if I preach that some places, they take it for a doctor and said they got it from God. And they got it from Leon Buzzard. Come on here. I don't wear one. KP duty, Buzzard. Lord, help us. Well, the Bible tells us, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's not a paralyzing fear. Come on, church. The fear that I have in my heart is not a paralyzing fear. No. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Is that hard to understand? No. Not when you realize that the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. Thank God for the fear of God in this hour of changing values. When you can't put your trust or your confidence in nothing, you can put it in the fear of God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I'm thinking this morning that what greater treasure could we uncover in this meeting? And I don't think that I'm anything special, but in this meeting if we could regain or discover a healthy fear of God. The Lord gave us this advice. Jesus Christ Himself said, fear not them which kill the body, not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen. God can do it, but it's not His will that anybody should perish. Let me read one more scripture to you and we'll close this morning. The Bible said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Come on, church. We are saved by mercy and truth. We was purged from our old sins by mercy and truth. But He said, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Without the fear of God in your heart, you and I will never be able to leave sin alone. We'll never. I still remember the weekend that my folks left me and my brother home and they went to Madera, California. We lived at Seaside, California. And they left us there. We had paper routes, so they left us there for 2 days. When I was about 13, 14, 15 years old. Danny was 4 years younger than I. And they left. And Sunday morning, Daniel said to me, let's go to the show. We haven't been in so long. I knew we shouldn't go. But I said, well, let's go to church first. That's very familiar, isn't it? Brother Carpenter, after church, was going to go. And on the dresser, of Mama's dresser, there was a whole pile of free passes to the movie that we had won by selling so many newspapers. I mean, we had it. Danny said, here, it won't cost us nothing to go. I said, no, we ain't going to do that. Old sly buzzard, we ain't going to do that. We'll pay cash and Mama won't know. Brother Dalton, we went. I can't tell you what it was, because all the time I was in there, the thought hit me. What if Jesus comes while I'm in this movie? I got to crying. Daniel said, what's the matter to you? And I said, what if Jesus comes while I'm in? He said, what'd you say that for? When we come out that Sunday afternoon, Brother Griffiths, when it was all over with, you know how it is on Sunday in town? There was nobody around. I said, oh, Danny, he's coming. We're lost. We're still here. He's coming, God, and we're here. We're driving down the road hollering for help and mercy for God to have mercy on us. We was riding down the Sister Greta. We looked over in the yard and there were some little bitty children. I said, oh, Danny, look, he ain't come. He ain't come. He ain't come. We got home and I said, Danny, that's it. I ain't never going again. Come on now. I ain't never going again. I ain't going to take that chance. When Mom and them got home, Mama walked in the house, went in her bedroom, and she come out and she said, you boys been to the movie. How did you know? He said, there's some of them passes are missing. I said, Mama, we didn't use them. He said, there's some missing. Where'd they go? I don't know what the angel's done with them, but somebody sent somebody down there and got some of them things. Mama knowed we'd been gone. And besides that, it was written in heaven. Daddy said, what are you going to do about this, son? What should I do, Daddy?
Oh, Lord.
Almost an hour. Amen. He said, there's only one thing to do, that's confess. I said, I've done confessed to you and Mama. He said, you didn't sin against me and Mama, you sinned against God. Well, I'll tell the Lord about it. Not here, you won't. You got to go to His house and do it. My daddy made me stand up in church, confess what I'd done. My pastor wouldn't let me play the guitar. Hello? I was through preaching. Sister Doris, I still remember my heart was broke. I went back. I didn't sit by Daddy no more. I sat in the back of the building. See, I didn't fear God like I should. It didn't work a godly sorrow in my heart. I became a little bitter. I thought, when I get old enough, I won't even come to church no more. But there's an old lady come to me and said, son, if you'll pray, you can preach again. I just looked at her. So that night, Sister Doris, she come and she brought me a box and handed it to me. And I opened it up and in it was a brand new Bible. She said, I want you to preach out of this the first time. It took a little while, but when my heart got right, I ain't been out of the pulpit since and I don't plan on getting out of it anytime soon.
Let's all stand. Could we do it? I don't know what we'll do the rest of the week, but I think that message calls for prayer around these altars. How about you? Lunch is at 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock service. Brother Cody Harmon will be preaching. But let's take some time this morning and let's seek the Lord. One old writer said, if you have only the Word, you'll dry up. If you have only the Spirit, you'll blow up. But if you have them both, you'll grow up. How about let's find us an altar prayer and do some growing this morning? Why don't we come? Let's have a good altar service here this morning. Could we do it? Try not to leave until you pray. Let's seek the Lord. Plenty of room. Let's pray for a while. Wonderful preaching. The truth. Outstanding. Let's seek the Lord here.